Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, February 4th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. For young professionals, finding a mentor can be the key to getting a foot in the door and finding a path up the career ladder. But those valuable mentorship meetings that once took place at conferences are now, in the pandemic era, happening largely online.
I had the ability to connect with individuals nationwide, worldwide even, and it was limitless.
But getting the attention of a potential mentor through cold calling and messaging isn't easy. In a moment, we'll talk with someone who cracked the code, and our reporter Ray Smith will share the preparation that experts say you should do before reaching out to a potential mentor. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Plus, save time by completing security questionnaires with Vanta AI. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ. That's VANTA.com/WSJ.
It used to be that finding a career mentor meant attending lots of receptions and conferences, but the pandemic has moved that process almost entirely online. And for a lot of people, shaking hands and getting FaceTime with professional leaders has been replaced by sending cold emails and having conversations over Zoom. But that's turned out to be less of an obstacle than you might think. In a moment, we'll meet a young professional in the medical field who found her mentor through social media. But first, we're joined by WSJ reporter Ray Smith, who wrote about the new world of finding a mentor. Hi, Ray. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, JR.
So, Ray, just to help us understand the basics here, what are the benefits of a mentorship?
One of the benefits is basically you are getting someone who can show you the ropes of how to navigate either the company or that industry. So that's one of the benefits. Another benefit is you can learn skills, and that can be technical skills, but also some social skills or soft skills on how to navigate everything from office politics or just relationships in general. And in some cases, you can get career advice too.
So now we've seen that mentoring has moved almost entirely online since the onset of the pandemic. But is virtual mentoring something new?
I'm glad you asked that. It's called e-mentoring in some corners. And e-mentoring has been around for a while before the pandemic. But the pandemic made demand for it increase and use of it increase as people could not be physically in person, especially during the early days of the pandemic when a lot of us were working remotely. So that made a lot of companies and a lot of players in this industry sort of switch to e-mentoring or online mentoring or virtual mentoring.
So, you know, Ray, it must be kind of awkward to develop a relationship with an established person in a professional field when you don't really have the luxury of an in-person experience.
It can certainly be awkward in a number of ways. I mean, you're essentially cold calling people virtually, whether it's through email or by sliding into their DMs on Instagram or Twitter. And DMs are direct messages that you can send to someone, and if they're not following you, if you're not mutual followers of each other, they don't typically go into their priority inbox. So sometimes when people receiving them from somebody they don't know, direct messages from someone they don't know, they might be wary of answering them because they're not sure if that person is a bot or for real or some kind of scam artist. So that takes a lot of gusto on the part of young people doing it. And for people responding to those kinds of emails, it might just be the fact that they happened to be online and they got a quick glimpse of the mail and saw that it was from a, you know, reputable person and maybe saw that the inquiry seemed legit and they had time since they were working remotely. So they got back to them in some cases.
Well, someone who had the gusto to find a mentor online is 30-year-old Priya Jaisinghani. She's a second-year endocrinology fellow at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York, and she's with us now. Priya, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, JR. It's wonderful to be here.
So Priya, tell us why you were looking for a mentor in the first place.
So I moved to a new city in a new training program to start fellowship at the epicenter of the pandemic back in 2020, which is New York City. And fellowship is training in a subspecialization. So I'm a board certified internal medicine doctor now entering training to practice endocrinology, which is the field which really deals with hormones and hormonal glands. And this would be the last stage of my training before I was ready for independent practice in the real world. So in my eyes, at this critical stage, it was really important to have the correct guidance in order for career evolution. And with the pandemic, workplaces had shifted pretty dramatically. And if I wasn't working remotely while I was in person in the hospital, there were a lot of rules which were imposed on social gatherings, just as they were throughout the city. So we weren't allowed to convene, to have lunch, to be at conferences, and it was really difficult to foster social connections behind the masks, the PPE. But I think virtual platforms kind of transformed that experience for people personally and professionally.
So what were your expectations going into this process? A lot of people might, you know, think about meeting up with a mentor as something that's done in person, but you had a process which was almost entirely virtual. What was that like, and what sort of challenges were there?
So COVID isolated us in many ways. And ironically, I think it also opened up avenues of engaging in another world, which was the world of social media. But I think looking at the challenges, I also saw that social media was also the perfect avenue and tool for my career development at this point. And there were several reasons I felt that way. You know, one being that it was very practical. I felt that I could reach people from the comfort of my home, and I had the ability to connect with individuals nationwide, worldwide even, and it was limitless. There was no 6-foot rule applied here as there was maybe in person. There weren't restrictions. How close or how far you were from me didn't really hamper my ability to express myself.
Now, you eventually did find a mentor, the Dean of Medical Education at the University of Chicago Pritzker School of Medicine. Tell us about that process.
So I was able to actually find several mentors and really shaped my career. I ended up hosting tutorials on medical education on Twitter. I was teaching lectures on YouTube. I was engaging in group chats. And through these group chats, actually, which, focused on several things such as women in medicine or endocrinology, I stumbled upon Dr. Vinny Arora's profile on Twitter. And she's a very well-decorated physician, as you mentioned. So when I came across her profile, besides engaging on her posts, I took it upon myself to also send her a message in order to propose this research project where I wanted to assess the gaps and inefficiencies that were leading to suboptimal COVID-19 vaccine uptake at that time. And we were going to examine the process from vaccine acquisition to administration through a quality improvement tool. And so I proposed this through a direct message to her. And upon my surprise, I got a prompt response where she was willing to take me up on this research project.
So tell me how that mentoring relationship has worked out.
So, you know, Dr. Arora and I have never met in person, but it's as though I have gotten to know her personally and professionally. So as I mentioned, you know, she shares many of the interests that I have, and she is a leader in those fields. So I have a very strong interest in medical education and quality improvement. So on a day-to-day basis, through her educational tweets, I was able to learn from her. Through our phone conversations about our research project, I was able to acquire more skills and build upon that. Through some of the engagement groups that we're in together and advocacy groups that we're in together, I was able to build on a professional and personal front in terms of health advocacy. And, you know, really through social media, I gained a new access to be able to meet and engage with someone who is not only in a different geographic location, but also is at a different institution than myself.
What's your advice to people who might be intimidated or might feel limited by finding a mentor online, as opposed to, you know, something more traditional like in-person networking?
I think that the pandemic has really propelled us to seek a different form of personal and professional support through social media and digital platforms. I would encourage people to build mentorship connections, to stay up to date with, regardless of whatever field they're in, through social media, through that content, to engage in discussions, conferences, tutorials, research, education, because it really brings you a sense of belonging and fulfillment. I think the other thing is, you know, there's several advantages. oftentimes in person, there is a certain hierarchy or power dynamic that comes into play. And I think for many trainees, it's hard to approach a individual who is much more senior or well-decorated. And I think that is really removed when it comes to social media. You're almost in a hybrid setting, which displays a personal and professional side to an individual. And I think on social media that was removed. I was able to approach Dr. Aurora with a lot of ease and confidence because I had access to her as a professional, but also as a personal individual.
All right, that's Priya Jaisinghani joining us from New York. Priya, thanks so much for taking the time to chat.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, JR.
So, Ray, as compared to several years ago, seeking out a mentor is happening in a very different world. How do experts say you should behave and prepare when you're trying to start up a mentorship, when, you know, you're essentially talking to a computer?
They advise that you should really be targeted and direct. And what I mean by that is that you should never sort of just send a cold email or direct message saying, hey, you know, I'm a young this and that, and I'd love to pick your brain. It shouldn't be that generic or vague. You should really make an attempt to show that you have done your homework, and you should target them with a note that says, you know, I read this research you did, or I saw you give this TED talk, or I saw you, you know, deliver remarks on this very specific issue, or I followed your career and I saw how you solved this very interesting, complex problem. Something very specific so that the person receiving it knows, A, that you did your homework, and B, you have something defined that you really want to talk about, something specific. And that can easily get the reader's attention, to know that you're not going to waste their time, but also that there really is sort of this very specific knowledge that's being shared or being requested. It's a very specific ask rather than a generic, can I pick your brain, or I'd love you to be my mentor. So it shouldn't be just starting off by saying, you know, I'm young and I'd love if you could be my mentor. You don't even have to mention the word mentor, but you should really express a genuine interest in what that person does and genuine curiosity that you want to learn more from that person, but be specific about what your ask is, like what you want to learn or what you want to talk about or what they did that impressed you and you want to learn more about.
And so for someone who wants to get started down this path of finding a mentor, what are some resources that are available?
They can actually sometimes start with their own employer. Employees can join corporate mentorship programs. And so one of the things that might be worth looking into is whether your company has one of those. And lots of companies do, and a lot of them have shifted to virtual during the pandemic. So that's one way. Another way is if you can join or you already belong to professional societies or groups in your industry, they may also have either their own mentorship programs where they connect you with a mentor in that field, or they will at least have resources like places they can refer you to where you can find a mentor. And as we heard from Priya, you can also use social media like Twitter to find a mentor, whether you're interacting with people in your field already on Twitter or you seek out people, professionals in your field or experts in your field who happen to be on Twitter. And you can do the same on LinkedIn, where you can look up someone on LinkedIn that you admire or that you respect and you really want to be in touch with, or you can be part of a group where there's a possibility that that person might be in that group as well or interacting with that group as well on LinkedIn.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Ray Smith. Ray, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.